Well, the last time I had the privilege of speaking, we were actually inside the church building, and it seems so long ago since we've been able to do that, and it seems like things are changing daily, and no matter where you're listening from, we just pray you feel loved and connected this morning. And if you are visiting our church this morning, a huge big welcome, and my prayer today is that wherever you are, whether you're in your bedroom, whether you're in your lounge room or on your phone, we just pray whatever device you're streaming our services, that you will feel the real and tangible presence of Jesus this morning. And over the last couple of weeks of isolation, we've as a family, we've had the opportunity to slow down. We've had the opportunity to hit the reset button and do things a little bit differently on a daily basis. And one thing that I've really enjoyed is just being able to slow down and actually spend some time together as a family. And over the last fortnight, we've actually just been really deliberate. We've been praying with our kids every night as a whole family. And last night, my wife and I, we were praying together, and our twin daughters, they began to mimic our stance and mimic their prayer life, and they began to pray together. And it got me thinking about what I was going to speak on today. And, you know, as I was watching my twin daughters last night and watching them pray and their prayer unfold, I had a few thoughts on prayer. And firstly, we know that prayer is not a show or a performance. You know, there are some key things that we need to know about praying and approaching our Father in heaven. And one of the key concepts or notions I believe around prayer is that we're approaching God primarily is about, when we approach Him in prayer, is primarily about our status as a son or daughter. And that He knows all that we need, and He actually wants to provide for each of us. And then the key part of the Lord's Prayer is like the statement where it says, "Thy will be done," which means that we won't always understand or we won't always agree, yet we know that His will be done in our lives. And the Lord's Prayer is ultimately a prayer of submission. And towards the end of the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew, and the end of this prayer, we see that we ask our Heavenly Father for daily bread. And I was thinking about this, and the original language means exactly that, regular bread. It's meant as a reminder that He cares about us and that He's a good Father. And we've spoken about that a little bit, about how He's a good Father previously when I've had the privilege of sharing. And we can go to Him for daily bread. And it's not yearly, it's not monthly, it's just a regular basis where we can go to Him practically for needs and go to Him because He cares about us and He cares about each of us individually. And then moving on through the book of Matthew, we find 11 verses later that Jesus proceeds to the topic of not worrying about our lives. And this is where I want to sit this morning. So if you do have your Bibles, would you turn to Matthew 6? And we're going to start from verse 25, and we're going to read a short passage together. And starting from verse 25, it says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your Heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith?" Verse 31, it says, "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? And what will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." And you see, Jesus, He tells us not to worry. He's direct. He's saying, stop worrying, you know. And if you were to speak with a counselor about an issue or something you're worrying about, it's unlikely that they would give you such blunt advice. Yet what we see with Jesus is that He goes straight to the heart of it. What we get with Jesus is not a new technique. It's not this new way of doing it, but rather it's a new perspective. He's not trying to teach us a five-step method to cope with your life. Rather, He's building a brand new perspective within us. rather than just handing out the tools for us to approach a situation with. He's working on strengthening us so that we might see the situation differently. He's building a brand new perspective, a new way of seeing things. And you know, and right now, perhaps your situation's not great. You see, there might be in your world, there might be a challenge of provision, or there might be a lack of work, or you might be isolated and feeling lonely. And what I know is Jesus brings is his presence to change your perspective. Your situation, it may not change, but your perspective can be radically different. You see, the Bible is built for people going through difficult times. It's the go-to manual for life. And the teachings within this book, they go right to the heart of it. Its goal is not to necessarily alleviate our challenges, but it's to give us a new perspective. It's to give us a new viewpoint, which allows us to be empowered to flourish, even in the midst of troubles. You see, sometimes he can calm the storm. And other times he calls us to walk on the raging waters. You see, and for you and I in this season, which we currently are, where things are a little bit different and things are changing day by day, is that Jesus wants to help us to gain a new perspective on our current circumstances, to see things through different lenses. And I was thinking about that notion of seeing things through different lenses. And you know, if you're anything like me, you might scroll through Facebook from time to time, and I sometimes watch videos. And a video I've seen before is a video of a gentleman, and he's colorblind, and what he actually does is he gets given a gift. And as he opens this gift, it's a set of glasses, and he puts these glasses on, and what they actually do is they allow a person who's colorblind to see color. So what it actually does is these lenses don't change the world, but they actually change the perspective of the world. And like this, Jesus wants us to perceive what God is up to. He wants us to view things through the lens. It's like putting a God filter on our eyes and allowing us to perceive things that which God would want us to perceive in his way. That he might be just working all things for good by pulling us together, by removing these things which we once relied upon for comfort. We can actually draw ourselves to him. And in verse 26 of Matthew, Jesus uses this interesting word, and it's interesting word for look. And when he says, look at the birds of the air, in the King James Version, it translates as behold. And in the original Greek word, it means to discern clearly, to look at with the mind. And Jesus is instructing us to really look. It's not just a mere glance. It's not just a man look, but it's to truly see. It's actually to perceive the situation. You know, and any parents out there, you could probably relate to this story. It's happened to me many, many times. It's like my son Mikey, he'll say to me, look, Dad. He wants to show me something, and I can be busy and I can be doing whatever I'm doing, and I'll look over. And then I look back and I get back to doing whatever I'm doing. But then you hear again, he says, look, Dad, look. It's like he's actually saying, look again, just actually look. Take a glance, look clearly, look, focus in on what's actually happening, what's actually occurring. It's not that quick glance we sometimes do. And this version or this word where they say look, they're saying look clearly, look, perceive the situation and actually look at it with greater clarity than just sitting back and doing that mere glance. You see, it says, behold the birds of the air. He wants us to look and bring our understanding to it at the same time. You see, to bring our mind and understanding to the provision that the birds have, to the provision that our Heavenly Father supplies. You see, I believe Christianity is not just a religion that instructs us to deny reality. It doesn't actually tell us to not think about issues. Rather, it tells us to look at every circumstance. But don't just stop there. Bring Christ into the situation. Allow his thoughts and eyes. And when I say we put a new lens on or we see things, we actually view things through the lens of Christ. And we see things a little bit differently. It's not about thinking less. But in fact, I actually think it's about thinking more. It's about thinking correctly. It's thinking about what God is doing through the eyes of faith. And see, we believe that God is in control. And Jesus is reminding us of this fact. Behold the birds. Realize that God provides for them. That he always meets their needs. They can trust in his supply. And at the end of the day, Jesus wants us to understand that the birds of the air are always provided for. So don't be anxious, but bring your understanding. Don't think less, but actually think more. Think about what he will provide for us, because we can rely in that fact that he will provide for each of us. In the NIV translation, Jesus says, "Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life?" Whereas in the King James Version, it says, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" You see, and in the ancient world, a cubit was a measurement that was from the tip of your fingers to the base of your elbow. And it's saying you can't increase your stature. You can't lengthen your life by worrying. So why do we give it airtime? You know, like, why do we? You see, Jesus wants us to know that there are lots of things that are out of our control. And we're experiencing that right now. You see, in this season we currently find ourselves, where lots of things are out of our control. And the truth is that a lot of anxiety comes when we feel powerless and we feel out of control. You know, and even this morning I was listening on the TV, and what was plastered across the TV screens was this list of things that we as a country or we as a community are worrying about. You know, we're worrying about our jobs, we're worrying about our finances, we're worrying about our health, all of these things that we're worrying about. And we want control over these things. We want to have our lives to feel this some sense of normality or some sense of stability. But we must realize that where we are in this season and truthfully in life as a whole is actually in somewhat quite out of our control. And we often strive to regain control. And maybe you don't, but I know I try to. We try to regain control, and we worry about losing control. And when the truth is, we've probably never really had control in the first place. Rather, we should take our worries to him, and we should speak directly to him and know that he directs our lives. You see, true control, I believe, is found when we surrender control to him. You see, by our own human power and strength, no matter how clever and how good we might be, there are some things that we simply cannot control. You see, we just have to trust him. We just have to know that God provides and he meets all of our needs and he cares for each of us. And as we let go and grasp hold of him, he richly provides. You see, in going back to that passage in Matthew 6 and continuing on in verse 31, we're told, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them." You see, we've gone back to the idea that we have a heavenly Father and we are his children. You see, a good father knows what his children need. And sometimes a good father brings restrictions for his children's own protection. You know, I know in our household sometimes we have to take away Mikey's iPad. And now he doesn't like that. We bring the restrictions in place for his own protection. And sometimes in our faith, we don't fully understand that he indeed knows what's good for us. And he knows what we need and what we actually need. And need and wants are two different things. And it helps us to alleviate this tension in our minds and in our lives. And I know I've spoken as a church previously before about this idea that as parents, we make decisions and we make choices that we feel are in the best interest or the best protection of our kids. And then we think about what grandparents are. Is grandparents just do whatever they want to do to be loved and liked? And, you know, and God's not like that. It's not like he's a grandfather that just does whatever we like. And, you know, like Dad can have the ice cream. No, you can't, son. Nen, can I have the ice cream? Yeah, have the tub. I've got another one on the way. It's just that whole notion, but God knows what's best for us. And we come to him as children, and sometimes we don't fully understand, but we just need to know that he is, or just not know, but just actually remove the tension and alleviate that tension in our mind by just saying, God, you know what's best for me. And just settling that in our hearts. And as humans, we love progress. We love to see activity. And when we don't see it, we tend to think that God doesn't know about our needs. And you know, I asked Tone and the guys to sing this song this morning. It says, even when I don't see it, we know you're moving. Because God moves even when sometimes we don't see it. And we're tempted to take matters into our own hands when we don't see things happening in a way that we think they should happen. Yet at the end of the day, God knows. And He's working on our behalf even when we don't see it. We can rest in the knowledge that our Heavenly Father knows. And this morning, would you rest in that? Even in the season that we are, would you rest in knowing that He knows you? He knows where you're at. He knows your situation. He's got your best interest at heart. Would you rely and depend upon Him? And maybe in your situation, you've been crying out to God, and maybe you've been bringing your daily requests to Him, and you're not seeing progress. But know that your Father knows what you need, and He's working on your behalf. And sometimes all we need to know is that He knows, is that He loves us, and He knows you, and He knows your needs. He's not distant. He's not this far away God that's just looking down to catch you doing something wrong. Now, He knows you. And don't carry the burden of tomorrow or allow tomorrow's burdens to weigh down on your heart. You see, you can live free of that anxiety today, knowing that He cares and knowing that He knows. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, Jesus in this verse, He's challenging our hearts. It's a challenge of what we're aiming at. You see, if we're aiming at mere things, we might get those things and we might achieve those things, but actually it won't have the proper place in our heart. You see, we might be focusing our lives on a particular relationship. We might be focusing on a career or a financial decision or a financial position. Yet, if our focus or our life's focus is aimed at those things, well, we may end up achieving those things. And those things are great, but they won't actually keep us. They won't actually sustain us. They won't actually fulfill us. You see, we might get what we're after, But it won't actually fill that hole that you've got within your heart and life. Yet when you place Jesus first, in my opinion, when you put Him first and you seek Him and you place your aim on Him, you get all of those things thrown in for free. You see, but we must first set our aim. And we set our focus on Him. And it's not merely saying, okay, I need to have everything perfect and I need to have everything together. No, it's just merely aiming on Him and depending upon Him. And it's not merely a mental technique, but rather a life's focus. Your situation might not be great, but you can make a decision to still trust Him. And when we focus on Him first, everything else fades into the background. And when we find Him, everything else comes into our lives too. When we focus completely on Him, all of our other needs, they fade into the background. And when we aim at Him, He provides for us. You see, it's not an issue of priority. It's an issue of priority, having Him as our one thing. You see, in this passage, when Jesus says, do not worry, the word He uses for worry is also used in the story of Mary and Martha. You see, in Luke 10:41, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You see, the word worry means fraction, or to split into multiple pieces. It's one of the truest pictures of what it means to be worried in our lives. You see, so many different things can be in our mind at one time, and our minds feel split into all of these pieces, and this is human nature. But Jesus is telling us that while our mind might be split, we can set our heart's priority on Him. We can aim at Him. And when we focus on Him, everything else in the background starts to fade. And while those things might still be important, Jesus is working on our behalf. And like the birds, He provides for us. You see, He is a good Father, and He knows what we need. And we do not need to spend our lives with a fractured mind or a fractured thinking. Just seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. And you know, in this season we're currently in, it's somewhat difficult. And I know for some the novelty has worn off. You know, to begin with, people were going, "Yeah, great, I get to stay home." And now the novelty of it has worn off, and we may have these elevated levels of worry and concern. And even today, it's going, what's happening? Where are we going? And things are changing. But Jesus wants to bring a brand new perspective into our lives, not just this technique. You see, He is in control, and He provides for us just like He provides for the birds. But see, we must aim for Him, choosing to carve out time to daily focus on Him and dwell in His presence. You see, and even just 5 minutes to set our hearts on Him, to worship and to pray and to read His Word. And if we place our lives into His hands, and if we sit at the feet of Jesus, He will surely be our one thing, and the worries of this world will not grasp a hold of us. Surely we do not have to worry about our lives, for we know the one who holds our lives in His very hands, and He indeed is a good Father. And would you know this morning that He cares for you? And He knows each of you intimately, and He holds you right now. And evermore, whatever your concern you may have, would you bring it to Him this morning? And would you be reliant upon Him? Would you make your aim for Him this morning? No matter where you're coming from, no matter what's happened in your life, would you even say this morning that I'm going to make aim for You this morning? I'm going to aim my life and I'm going to focus in on You. And you may not know what that looks like, but would you reach out? And I know at church we've got a number of people who would be interested, who would be available just to connect with You. And that might be a bit different in this season. It might be a phone call. But whatever that is, would you reach out and say, I want to make aim at Jesus this morning? Because when we do, all of those situations in our life will change. And no matter what you're feeling this morning, would you just say, I know that He cares. And He cares for you individually. Would you say, I know that He cares for me. And I know that He's got my very needs in mind. And He's got what's best for me. And I can rely and I can depend on Him this morning. And as I close, I'm just going to say a prayer. And as I say this prayer, you might want to say, yeah, I just want to reach out. And I know that on our screen we've got the opportunity to hit a button and just say, I want someone to connect with me today, or connect with me this week, or you just say, I'm interested in knowing more of what you're talking about, this Jesus that you're talking about. This morning as I pray, would you just hit that button and just say, Jesus, I want to know more about You and what You are about, because I know that You care for me this morning. So, Father, You know me. And your presence is ever near. No matter where we are this morning, Your presence is right there. I pray that You would be tangibly touching hearts and lives this morning, and people will be feeling Your presence this morning and feeling the love that You have for each of them. And You know my tendencies. And You know I so often think that it's my strength getting me through the day. And yet here and now I declare my trust in You. You see, grant me Your perspective. Would You give me a new lens this morning? Even if I can't see You moving, even though I can't see progress at different times, would You help me to set my heart on You, as You are my provider? You're my resource, my supply, the one who knows all my needs and delights to meet them with abundance. Would You take my worry? Would You take my stress? Would You take this fractured mind and that I would instead find a brand new perspective as I declare my trust in You? And thank You that I can cast all my cares upon You and know that You are in control, and You are even now taking the burden of heaviness from my mind and replacing it with joy and peace and love this morning. We thank You for Your very presence this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.